Yeah, I can't see your face, so you know you need to clap or do something. And praise the Lord. We're talking about boosters now, and I really need a booster today. So you guys are going to be my booster. My name is Adrian James Chong. I am married to Shanti, my wife. I think you can see the screen coming up soon. We've been blessed with two kids. Samuel, who is here. Nicole, she was here earlier. Yeah. Yep, this picture of my family. And we're thankful for the gift of family. We're thankful that we're able to worship here in our church, a family church. Now, apart from that, I'm also the zone pastor for PJ North 1, PJ North 5, and also the head of security for the church. So sometimes when you see me, you know, at the back there looking, scanning, I'm actually scanning. You know, I'm scanning everyone, all right? And I just want to give a special shout-out of thanks to all those who are serving behind the scenes. You know, really, we are thankful for your service week in, week out. So God bless you. I know that you're serving with joy. Now, my name, Adrian James, is no issue. All right, but the Chong is an issue. Let me tell you why. During period of Ramadan, I always get into trouble. Every year without fail, except last year because it was the MCO, so I didn't go out. Many years ago when I was preparing to go to court for proceedings, I was having my hot thosai in the morning with my hot kopi O. I was sitting in Jalan Masjid, India, and having this meal, and never disturb a man when he's having his meal. All right, I was digging in, you know, and suddenly two men came by my side, very rudely said, "Inche, apa kamu buat ni?" So I looked at them and like, I got a shock, man. The thosai is going in with the coffee, you know. You come and tell me this thing, you know. I was shocked. And then I just looked at them and they identified themselves. I don't want to mention who. And they asked me, "Kan ini bulan Ramadan. Kenapa Encik buat macam ini? Patut sembunyilah makan." So I ignored them. And they said, "Kenapa kamu macam ini?" Then I looked at them and said, "Saya lapar lah, bang. Saya memang lapar. Saya lapar ni. Saya tak boleh tahan ni." And they said, "Minta IC." So I said, mana boleh? IC kalau polis saya bagilah. Kalau tak polis saya tak bagi. And then they said, "Okay, tunggu, you wait. You don't want to cooperate with us, it's okay." So the police came. The police were fantastic. They came, they said, "Can I have a look at your IC?" Show them my IC. "Hey, China lah ni." Just to break the ice, guys. Just to break the ice. We heard last week, in the first week of Advent, Pastor Terry speaking about hope. And this week, I'll be sharing with you about joy. And the sermon title is "Joy to the World, the Savior Reigns." May I invite you to stand with me? And of course, those online at home, my friends, I've not forgotten you. Also stand as we read the Word of God together in reverence. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Please be seated. The background of Psalm 23 accounts basically to David's maturity, but with vivid remembrance of his youth as a shepherd. David thought about God, the God of Israel. And as he thought about his relationship with God, he made the analogy of the shepherd and his sheep. God was like a shepherd to David, and David a sheep to God. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "I like to recall the fact that this psalm was written by David, probably when he was king. He had been a shepherd, and he was not ashamed of his former occupation. See, in those days, the shepherd was looked down upon. It was not a job that people wanted. It was given, basically, if your family were shepherds, and then it carries on, similar to what David's family was. But today, in our time right now, shepherds, or even farmers, are looked upon with great respect because of the fact that we are having food shortage right now in this country. So the big idea, before I share that with you, I want to just ask you to visualize something. The shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd and the sheep. That is all you have to remember. Okay? The shepherd and the sheep. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you, Father, for your word. And we know, Lord, Father, your word goes forth, O Lord, to accomplish purposes that you have set forth, O Master. So, Lord, as we speak about you, O Lord, Father, this day, I pray, O Father God, that you will touch the lives of my friends here, O Lord, Father God, and that you will impact their lives, O Lord, transform their lives, O Lord, Father, so that they know who the great shepherd is, O Lord. So with this, we thank you, we praise you, Father, for your goodness and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready to be transformed into a sheep? Are you sure? Better to be a sheep than a shepherd. And I'll explain why. The big idea, there is joy when the Savior reigns in our life. There is joy when the Savior reigns in our life. Remember the concept? Sheep, shepherd, clear, right? All right, let's just keep to that, right? Let's keep to that. Now, what kind of a joy are we talking about? Now, joy described in the Bible is basically a feeling of good pleasure and happiness that is dependent on who Jesus is rather than who we are or what is happening around us or in us. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit abiding in God's presence and from hope in His Word. So the joy that we are talking about here right now is joy that is in Christ. A joy that is in Christ. Not what is happening with us. Not what is happening around us, but who Christ is. Now, in the Bible, God reigning over our lives is always described as a shepherd leading the sheep. It starts in the book of Genesis and it goes on even to the New Testament, where God is always described as a shepherd, and we are his sheep. So God reigns in our life in the capacity of a shepherd, and no ordinary shepherd. He is known as the good shepherd. And as soon as we realize that the word in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and we are his sheep, we can fully develop the understanding of the Savior reigns. The Lord is my shepherd, and we are his sheep. John 10, verses 11 to 12 says, or reads, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Growing up in Sentul, Pasar Dalam, that's where I grew up in. A couple of weeks ago, you would have heard Reverend Elisha Satvinder. He is also from Sentul. And then we had, of course, the late Pastor Ravi, also from Sentul. So there's something special about people from Sentul. I don't know if there's anybody from Sentul here. No one? Anyone? Lift up your hands if there's anyone. Online, I'm sure there are, you know. And in Sentul, when we get up in the morning, all right, we must be very careful where we step. You know why? There's lots of cow dung everywhere. All right, if you never step on cow dung, you want to try, can go to Sentul. You still can find. It's hard on the outside, soft in the inside. And it's a bit warm when it hits your feet. All right? And you know, when we, boys in Sentul, we will always be ready to see where is the cow dung or the goat poop, I don't know what you call it. And one day, I was sitting up in my balcony and observing a group of guys getting together, sitting under a tree, having a good laugh. And they were happy, joyful, And these basically were not shepherds, they were more of herdsmen. They were basically herding cows and goats, all right? And I was so impressed, you know, looking at a few guys coming together and having so much of fun passing the bottle around. So to me, it was like, wow, amazing, man. These guys, you know, they can sit together. I see the goats also sitting there. I see the cows keeping quiet. And these guys are just having a good time. And I was saying, wow, these are fantastic shepherds, man. They can come together, share food, laugh, dance, and sing. You don't have to watch any Tamil movie. You just watch them under the tree dancing and singing. So then my father pointed out to me, son, actually, these fellas are drinking todi, you know. You know what todi is, huh? Fermented coconut, huh? And you can find that also in Central. Huh? So then I knew, okay, that is not the shepherd, the kind of shepherd that we are looking at. We are looking at the good shepherd, our Lord and Savior. He is our good shepherd. We are his sheep. He is the good shepherd. Now, the first point is this. The shepherd brings joy. The shepherd brings joy. Verse 2 of Psalm 23 reads, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." I read it to you again. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, writes, "Sheep do not lie down easily and will not unless four conditions are met. Because they are timid, they will not lie down if they are afraid. Because they are social animals, they will not lie down if there is friction among sheep. If flies and parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. And finally, if sheep are anxious about food and hungry, they will not lie down. Rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine." Can you relate with this? I surely can relate with this. You know why? The last one, sheep are anxious about food and hungry. They will not lie down. And all Malaysians have this similar problem. That is why instant noodles in Malaysia does very well. 11 o'clock, you find the kitchens all, you know, all the sounds coming out. Why? We can't sleep if we are hungry. That is why I said, let us focus on us being the sheep and God the good shepherd. Now, it is interesting, right? The word says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters." Not a raging river where we are distracted, but He allows us to rest in green pastures. He makes us lie down in green pastures. That is an important word, because like sheep, all of us are restless. We are always doing things that we're not supposed to do, or we are doing things that gets us in trouble. And I know that very much, because I'm young age, I used to get whacking all the time from my mother. So much of whacking using the rotan that I found out the best way to stop it is to break all her rotan. I break it, then she goes and buys some more rotan. I break it some more. Then she got smart. She says, "I'm not going to use rotan. I'm going to use the iron hanger. You break it as much as you want. You bend it, still I can bend it back and whack you." We are like sheep. We are restless. We cannot rest. Why? Because we have not allowed God to be the shepherd of our lives. We want to be the shepherd of our lives. And when we want to be the shepherd or the captain of our lives, what happens? There is no joy. Why? Because we do not lie down in the green pastures that He has prepared. We're not going through going by the still waters. But we're just moving along rapid rivers, and we can't have a connection with God. Verse 3 says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Now, in Hebrew, the word "restore my soul" can mean "brings me to repentance." The shepherd takes what is soiled and grown foul, sin infestation, and restores to purify. My friends, if we are not restored, can you have joy? You can't have joy. You are separated from God. There's a vast river between you and God, and you can't have that joy. So the shepherd does this. When you submit to the shepherd, when you allow Him to be the shepherd of your life, He takes you, He restores your soul. He restores your soul, He purifies you so that you can have a wonderful relationship with Him. You can have a beautiful relationship. He creates this atmosphere, or environment, where you can thrive. The shepherd did not only restore but guides his sheep into righteousness, giving us a platform to be in a wonderful environment where we can experience the love of God that is in the fullness of joy. In this environment, we can thrive doing God's work. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, originated from Europe, was asked a question by the Catholic news agency on why did you come to India, and not only to India, but to the slums of Calcutta, and not only to serve the poor, but the poorest of the poor. And her answer was this: I follow the Good Shepherd. He leads me. And because he leads me, I have joy when I serve. I have peace when I serve. My friends, if we do not allow God to be the shepherd of our lives, we can never have joy. You take joy away from your life, what do you have? Struggles. You have struggles. That is why in ministry, when we serve, you've got to let him be the shepherd of your life. You don't be the shepherd of your life. You don't be the shepherd. You are the sheep. Remember I said earlier, the sheep and the shepherd, simple concept. You just be the sheep. Let him be the shepherd. Let him be the shepherd of your life. But what happens if you allow him to be the shepherd of your life? Do you think things will just be hunky-dory all the time? No, right? It's not going to be smooth sailing all the time. You will have your ups and downs. You will go through difficult situations. You will go through tough times. You also have good times. But the second point, uncertain circumstances doesn't diminish joy. Uncertain circumstances does not diminish joy. Verse 4 of Psalm 23 reads, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, even as we have Christ as our shepherd, there will be times where we will have ups and downs, as I said earlier. But note, the joy factor does not change. The joy factor is constant as long as we allow Christ to reign in our lives. Now, this is the first dark note in this beautiful psalm. But I believe this is where our joy is fully realized. This is where our joy is fully realized. Now, David uses this powerful phrase to speak of some kind of dark, fearful experience. It is a valley, not a mountaintop or a broad meadow. A valley suggests being hedged in or surrounded. It is a valley of the shadow of death, not facing the substance of death itself, but the shadow of death, casting its dark, fearful outline across David's path. But notably, David recognized that under the shepherd's leading, he may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It isn't a destination or a dwelling place. It isn't a destination or a dwelling place. It's not your final destination. You're going to walk through. You're not going to walk and stop. You're going to walk through. And many people are going through this situation right now. The number of deaths due to COVID. The number of people who have lost jobs. So many people are down. Suicide rates are up. Divorces are up. So many things are going wrong. But here the shepherd, if you allow him to be the shepherd of your life, my friends, you will go through this kind of situations, but it is a place of transit. It is not your end destination. It is not your end game. It is where you would go with him, but through this place. You will go through this place. You know, it's not your last place. It's basically a transit. It's not this end thing and that's it, I'm going to be there. You're going to just go through it. A few other notable points. As we read this psalm and we focus on Jesus, the great shepherd, we understand that shadows are not tangible, but it's cast by something which is tangible. One can rightly say that we face only the shadow of death, because Jesus took the full reality of death on the cross. We face only the shadow of death, not death itself, because as believers, this was taken for you and me on the cross. And we have to be thankful for that. When was the last time, my friends, can I ask you honestly speaking, did you give thanks that you are saved by grace of God? When was the last time? Do you do it every day? Or do you complain more? I do not have this, I do not have that. When was the last time? When was the last time we spoke to someone about Jesus Christ? Now we're talking about elections, about COVID. We're looking at our phones and seeing what's the numbers. When was the last time you looked at your Bible and you wanted to take this and show to your friends who Jesus is? We can only do this if we have the shepherd as the leader of our life. He is leading us. Only then can you have this joy to go out there and share Christ. You do not have to be an expert to share Christ. Out of 6 billion people in the world, you know, I'm lucky to be here with you, or blessed to be here with you. Come up with your own lines, lah. Come up with your own lines. You know, I was recently driving in a Grab, not recently, a couple of months ago. And I was asking this guy, he was talking to me about, you know, how his life is and about Grab and what he was doing, how he lost his job and he's doing this business. And he's also doing insurance to supplement what he's doing. So I listened to him. And then he was driving, you know, and I could see his driving was a bit erratic, you know. So I asked him, hey, brother, can I ask you something? You know, you take your left and you take your right. Now, sometimes I see you don't even on the signal, you know. You just go, like this. So he said, it's okay, you know. He said, all Malaysians do that. They don't use the signal. So he said, the moment you use a signal, people won't give you the way of entry, you know, or right of passage. Huh? We all know that, right? You all practice using signal, or not? Yeah. All people in DOMC, I'm sure they use, you know. Huh? But then I used that opportunity telling him, if, let's say now at that bend, if we make the turn, what's going to happen if somebody comes and knocks into you? You say, die, lah. I said, okay, lah, since you say you die, lah, okay, lah. So what happens after you die, lah? That opened up an opportunity to share that only through Christ can you have eternal life. That only through Christ can you have joy. It is infectious, my friends. When you have the shepherd leading you, you will have joy. When you have joy in your life, you will be infectious. You will be wanting to talk about this. So your test for today, when you go back home, ask yourself this question. When was the last time I spoke about Jesus Christ and salvation to my family or my friends? If you have not, then I believe that you have not allowed him to be the shepherd of your life. Because you don't have the joy one. You don't have, it's not excitement, it's joy. Because only he is the only way that we can have eternal life. He is the only way. So allow him to be the shepherd of your life. And even if you're going through these difficult times, remember that the joy does not diminish at all. Spurgeon says, death in its substance has been removed and only the shadow of it remains. Nobody is afraid of a shadow. That one I'm not too sure. Sometimes I'm also afraid of shadows. For a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway, even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. Spurgeon. It also emphasizes that you are with me. And because you are with me, fear of evil goes away. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They keep me safe. Because you are the shepherd of my life. Simple concept, simple teaching. You are the sheep, he is the shepherd. He is not only the shepherd, but he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. In verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, hallelujah. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Have you sat and had a meal and there were people looking for you to either kill you or beat you up? No, right? No? No, right? Not so drastic, lah. But there are other kinds of things that surround us. Fear, depression, anxiety. And all these things are enemies that surround us. But here God is saying, come, sit. I am the host. I prepare a table for you. Not any table, a banquet for you. Because I'm God, I am your shepherd. You just sit down and have your meal. I'll take care of those things around you. I prepare a table before you, says the Lord. I'm not asking you to prepare a table, because my table is a bounty of goodness. In my table, there's protection, mercy, and grace where the enemy cannot come and take it from you. Even in the presence of our enemies, you sit and have a meal with the Lord. You have communion with Him on a daily basis. That is why your daily devotions are so important. That is why the church always says, go and do the Bible reading plan. It's not academic, you know. This one is real life stuff. This is why you sit on that table, and on that table you are communing with God. A table that He has prepared for you. A table that He has prepared for you, although your enemies are surrounding you. Sit down, have your meal, man. Sit down, have your meal with Him. Nothing will happen. I share a short story with you before I go to my third point. I'm known as a good storyteller. So good that when my children were young, they would fall asleep before I finish. The greatest storyteller was Jesus in the Bible. And stories come only when you meet with people and talk and spend time with people. When you interact, when you have the joy to share Christ, when you have joy and energy to just be there for someone who's going through a difficult time. Investing your time. Why? Having Him as your shepherd. When I left my practice and joined my father's business, little did I know that it was a disaster. We had owed so many people money, and that's for another day. Our business collapsed. Not only were we zero, we were negative. And during this time, my mother fell really ill. She had a very bad case of diabetes. Eventually, after some time, she lost one eye, and then after that, the other eye. My mother, if you know her, had a wonderful life. She was Miss Kuala Lumpur at one time. She was a beauty queen. That is when my father fell in love with her. And they were neighbors. My father would climb the mango tree and look over and see the kampung. That's where my mother was. She was a life warrior. She had a wonderful eye for art and also for flowers. She was actually a florist. She opened up a flower shop. And she was doing all these things, making flowers for the church and so on and so forth. But she started to lose her eyesight. Went to the doctors here. They messed it up. Had to go to Singapore, NUS, to get it rectified. By then, they said, too late, lah. The pressure in your mother's eye is too high. Blindness already is setting in. Now, over this time, I used to spend time talking to my mother about Jesus, sharing the gospel with her. And that was the time, one of my lowest times, you know, because my relationship with my mother was very good. We were very close. And our family is small. We have me, my dad, my mom, my younger brother, and my younger sister, of which I also lost. That is for another time, due to dengue hemorrhaging fever. She died when she was 20 years old. So I've gone through tragedies in my life. But with my mother, you know, she was like the light in the house, lah. You take the woman away from the house becomes dull. And all the ladies say, I don't agree, ah. I'm giving you all some good brownie. I got some people clapping, as good, lah. So she's the light in the house. And all that is gone and taken away. And I used to ask the Lord, Lord, I'm praying and praying and praying, but no healing. How? Lord, I'm fasting and praying. Lord, I'm looking to You. Can You take us out of this situation? Because not only is my mother sick and she's blind, my business is gone. We lost everything. Everything. Houses, factories, everything gone. I was riding a Honda Cup for many years. The one that does not have the button. You know, you got to kickstart. So if you notice, one of my legs is a bit bigger than the other. Because the bike also cannot start properly. But as I was spending time with my mother, I used to read to her this psalm, Psalm 23. And she loved the psalm. In fact, she will light up whenever I spent time reading the psalm with her. And one day she said, "Son, can I have the Jesus that you know in my life? I know Jesus, but the Jesus that you know is so different from what I know." Hey, my friends, that was the happiest day of my life. Why? Because when we allow the shepherd to be the shepherd of our lives, joy will never diminish. There will be the time and that opportunity where that joy will be revealed. That's why I said the second point, in your most difficult times, your joy will be made alive even more. And I praise God, she accepted the Lord, and months later on, she passed on. So our joy does not diminish, my friends, when uncertain circumstances come along. If we have the shepherd, the good shepherd, as the leader of our lives. And my final point, joy secured for eternity. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, mercy is a covenant word rendered steadfast love elsewhere. Together with goodness, it suggests the steady kindness and support that one can count on in family or between firm friends. Isn't God amazing? We started by making him the shepherd, allowing him to shepherd us. Things were going on well. He makes you sit in the green pastures, leads you beside the still waters. And then, of course, he restores your soul. But then again, some bad things happen or some unfortunate circumstances come. But he's still leading you through that valley, leading you through that valley of the shadow of death, the fears that you have. But he's leading you. It is not permanent. He's pulling you through. And then he ends it by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." My joy is secured. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalmist ends with the calmest assurance that he would enjoy the presence of the Lord forever, both in his days on earth and beyond. Now, Joseph Anthony Chong, my grandfather, used to sit down with me in the evenings and teach me the Lord's Prayer in Latin. He could speak Latin. And he would want me to learn this prayer in Latin. Of course, those days I can recite it. Now I've already forgotten. No practice, Pastor Chris. Nobody to talk to. Latin, how to speak, you must practice. And one of the things that he always told me was this. When you follow the Good Shepherd, it means something very simple. That means you're following the words of God. Simple teaching. If you follow the Good Shepherd, means you're following the words of God. And you know this man lived through the Japanese occupation, but his joy was never taken away, although his brother was actually beheaded in Dataran Merdeka because he was part of the Rebel Force 136 against the Japanese occupation. But he never had that joy taken away from him. Until his last day, he would always come and smile and talk to us and share. He had this joy within him that I couldn't understand. So my friends, when we allow God to be the shepherd of our lives, when we choose this to happen, remember, we must also be the sheep. There can never be two captains in a ship. One captain, and the rest follow the captain. So where do we go from here? What should we do? Talk to God. Spend time talking to him. If you have been running things your way, then susah lah. But if you can come before him today, acknowledge that you are a sinner, acknowledge that you are dependent on him, and allow him to lead you, my friends, joy will be part of your life from now until the day you leave and go to be with him in heaven. Spurgeon says, "While I am here, I will be a child at home with my God. The whole world shall be his house to me, And when I ascend into the upper chamber, I shall not change my company, nor even change the house. I shall go to dwell in the upper story of the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So, what should we do next? What is our next step? Our next step is to realize that we are sheep. That's the first thing. You need to realize that we are sheep and allow the shepherd to be the good shepherd in your life. I would like to pray for us right now. Can I get the musicians to come so that we can worship God and pray? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for the times that we have gone ahead of you. Father, we are sorry for the times that we have thought in our minds or even in our deeds to think that we are the shepherd. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us the way. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the good shepherd in our lives. Forgive us for the times that we have turned away. Forgive us for the time that we have looked away from you, O Lord. Help us recognize our weakness. Help us recognize that we need you. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. We are thankful, O Lord, Father God, that we can come back to you. We are thankful, O Lord Father, that we can realize the joy that you have for us. My friends, if there's any one of you here who does not know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and also those online, you can only have fullness of joy if you know Jesus and you allow him to be the shepherd of your life. Because he leads you to the green pastures. He makes you lie down in the green pastures. He leads you beside the quiet waters. He restores your soul. And even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will have no fear. For he is with you. His rod and his staff, they give you comfort. All the days of your life, you'll see that he is good. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May I invite you, if you do not know Jesus, to say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for being a sinner. Forgive me for the times, O Lord, that I have turned away. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, and on the third day you rose again to conquer sin and death. Lord, I believe that if I call you to come into my heart, you will come and make your home in my heart. And if I confess that you are my God and my Savior, I shall have eternal life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and your grace that is at constant work in my life. My friends, if you have said this prayer online, there are people who want to meet up with you and talk to you. There's a raise hand button. Just press on click onto it. And there'll be host and pastors there ready to talk to you, to share with you, to pray with you. And then for those who are here and online, if you are in need of prayer, we are ready to pray for you. Our host team is ready to pray for you. All you have to do is click on the prayer button and they will link up with you to pray for you. But if you're in the auditorium now and you're not well and you need prayer, the table is open. After celebration, you have our pastors here who will be willing to pray for you. Of course, observing all the SOPs. Isn't it such an honor to know Jesus? What a privilege to know Him. Do not take this privilege for granted. Most of the time we do. That is why we don't share Jesus. We have to do programs to get you to share Jesus. It's within. When you make Him the shepherd, you have joy. When you have joy, it's infectious. When you're infectious, you can. That's why joy to the world. The Lord has come. It starts with you. You've got to bring this joy outside. You've got to bring it to your families and friends. Like how I shared Psalm 23 with my mother and she accepted the Lord. You've got to be consistent. Even though things may not be how we want them to be. So God bless you. As we come to a close, if you want prayer, come up later. We'll pray for you. I would like to do the benediction right now. We bow our heads in reverence to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.